Welcome everyone to The Enthusiast Life. I am your host, Mark Turcotte. I'm so glad each and every one of you have decided to make me a part of your day. Well, we are here for a very special Friday episode here. And today, rather than do a retro game club, which that will be coming back in a couple weeks, today we are talking Star Wars Unlimited. This is the new TCG. And think, you know, Magic the Gathering and or Disney Lorcana, if you want, but Star Wars. So I've yet to play this game, but I have two people here with me who have been playing the game and are deep in the game. And first up, you may know or remember him if you go back in the feed to some of our Patreon episodes. He was a multi-time guest on those episodes. Falcon, what's up, dude?
Hey, what's going on, Mark? It's good to be back.
I know, man. It's been a while,
good to
right?
be back. Yeah, it's been a long time, like, what, years now, right?
But well, literally years, hey, yeah. That's funny.
I'm just so glad you're doing this again, man. I'm so glad you're podcasting again, because it's just good to hear your voice again, Retro Game Club, just your normal enthusiast life on a weekly basis. It's awesome. I just love listening to it when I'm at work, and it's good to keep up with you.
Well, I appreciate that, man. I do. Well, joining me, too, who I thought was on a Patreon episode going way back, but he never was. He was just in the Discord chat. But this is his first time on the feed. Chandler, what's up, dude?
What's going on? Yeah, like Falcon said, I'm glad that you're back doing this. This is awesome. I fell off the Discord because I somehow cleaned it out when I did a mass purge of some of the Discord servers I was on. I immediately regret it and missed it, so I'm glad I'm back.
Yeah, glad you're back. But yeah, you just shot me the message and I was like, of course you're back at the Discord, man. Like, gotta be in here, dude.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Well, what was funny was you had messaged me and said, you know, hey, you know, I accidentally deleted the Discord, can you invite me back in? And then one of the first things you posted was about Star Wars Unlimited. And meanwhile, you didn't know, but kind of throughout the last, I mean, how long has the game been out now? About 6 months? Like, Falcon, out of everybody in the Discord, is the one that's just been putting pictures and like, hey, look at this card I got, and talking about it. Like, look at the new expansion that's coming out. So I was like, immediately, like, I got to get you two guys on, and we need to talk about this game. Because, like I said, I've yet to jump in. But before we kind of get to the game itself, I want to kind of throw it to both of you guys, kind of your history on TCGs. And Falcon, I'm going to throw it to you first. What is your kind of just story when it comes to TCG type games, these collectible card games?
Yeah. So it all started for me with Magic the Gathering. So probably back in, it's around 2014 is when I started getting into Magic the Gathering. And I had some friends that I would play with, and we would, we'd play quite often. And it was just something that I never knew how addicted I could have gotten to a card game like that. Like, just being able to build your own decks, you know, put your own flavor on these types of things. Like, you know, I want to build a ninja deck, and there's a whole bunch of ninja creatures in Magic the Gathering, and you can just build a theme deck around ninjas. And then when you build that deck and you play that deck and you win with that deck, there's nothing like it. You know, you just kind of, it gives you that sense of accomplishment. Like, you know, you took down your opponent, and it was all because of how you built the deck. And so Magic the Gathering was my starting point. And over the years, I kind of built up a little bit of a collection. I sadly sold that collection to another person.
Wow.
And I regretted it. I had not too many cards, but I had enough. And I was like, you know, I'm not going to be playing this card game for a little while. I had other things going on in life. So I like kind of sold it off to one of my buddies. And then later, I was just in the local game store, and I saw Magic, and it was the Dungeons & Dragons set. And I was like, man, that looks pretty cool. I want to pick up some of that. And so I picked up a box, and I pulled, it was the Dragon Tiamat. Mm-hmm. And so people that know D&D are going to know who Tiamat is. And I was like, man, I got to build a dragon deck now. This is sick. And after that, it was just kind of like downhill, because I just got addicted to buying boxes and packs again. And now I have a huge collection. I own 12 Commander decks for Magic.
I remember with the Patreon episodes, you got real big into Commander, right? The Commander mode?
Yes, I'm still into Commander. I've got 12 Commander decks and one Modern deck, but Commander's where it's at. That's like where everyone plays right now. So, yeah. And then other than that, you know, I kind of, that was my only TCG that I ever played. I saw TCGs pop up here and there, but I'm like, I don't got the money for that because it can get expensive. If you're into multiple TCGs, people will know. Sometimes you can't really afford to sit there and get into multiples. But this is Star Wars we're talking about here. And I saw this one pop up out of nowhere. Crazy. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, what about you, Chandler? What's kind of your story, your path
to this? Well, unlike Falcon, I've just started playing, and I started playing with Disney Lorcano when it came out. So both of these games are probably less than a year old, I think. I think Lorcano is less than a year old at this point.
Yeah, Lorcano was like, was it August maybe last year? Or summertime, wasn't it?
August. It was sometime around that time, I think. But I never really – I've played Marvel Champions, which is different. But none of these collector games where you buy the booster packs and build your decks and all that. But I started playing Lorcana, and then saw Star Wars was coming out, and I was like, oh, I'm sold. Like, I love Lorcana, so I'll try the Star Wars game coming out. And I've just kind of become like an addict, actually. I play a ton of Lorcana, and we have a pretty good scene here, and I live in Greenville, South Carolina, so we have a pretty good scene here with both of those games. So
so you're playing at shops, like your local shop is where you're going?
Yeah, we have like a I have a couple stores that I go to depending on when I have time. It's one of those things where it's like these games can take all your money and they can take all your time, or you just have to find the right balance, kind of like, I shouldn't be spending money on this, but I want to build this specific deck. So do I want to do that? Yes.
I'm telling you, man, I forgot you were down in Greenville, which isn't too far from me here in Charlotte. So I may, invest in the Star Wars Unlimited, I may need to come down there for a weekend or something and get to the shop with you or something. And you can show me what this is all about. For sure. But for me, when it came to TCGs for me, I mean, I grew up literally right. There was down the street was a comic book shop that sold. He started getting into some baseball cards and that. But then, and this is no joke, literally right next to the house that I grew up in was an apartment building. And in the very bottom was a shop that opened up. And it was called Rings and Things, Cards and Comics. And he was trying to sell literally like charms and things for necklaces. But then, because this is the 90s, so people were like, you know, wouldn't have bling on, I guess. But then also had comics and cards. And the comics kind of went by the wayside because the better comic shop was just literally down the street. So everybody went there to get their comics. So this guy just totally went in on baseball cards, you know, basketball cards, football cards, all that. And Magic the Gathering came out. And I don't think he had the alpha, but he had some packs of the beta sets. And so I had, like you mentioned, Falcon, how you sold off all your cards. I had...
Right.
A bunch and just gave them. I'll never forget my mom, somebody at her work, their son was getting into it, like just as I was getting out. And my mom was like, you don't need these cards anymore, do you? And I was like, nah, I'm not, you know, I'm not playing that. Dude, I had a card in there that I still, like, every once in a while look up on eBay. It was the Force of Nature from the beta set. Like, I just looked before we did this podcast, 7.0 graded one is like over $500 starting on eBay. And I'm like, oh, I had that card, man. I had it. Like, I'll never forget, like, that it was just, at the time, that was a rare card then. So now it's like, you know, who knows? I mean, those cards were all beat up anyways because my buddies and I would play outside. But I always was, like, into it. But then as time kind of went on, like, I just kind of fell out of it, but would always look at Magic, like, from afar. So when, like, the 360, I remember there was, like, Magic 13 came out or Magic 2014 or 2012, they would kind of put these releases out that had a little campaign in it. And I tried getting my son into it, but he wasn't really latched into it. And then recently I've gotten into like Magic Arena playing online, but I haven't actually gotten into like collecting the physical cards. And with the announcement of Star Wars Unlimited, it was like, man, like this might be the time to do it just because it's still that competitive side like Magic. But it's like you keep saying, Chandler, it's Star Wars. And it just.
I know. And I. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Chandler.
I was just going to say, like, I feel like with Magic, I had thought about trying to get into Magic right before I started playing these other two games. And I every time I would go to like think about it or look at some of the sets, I was like, there's so much here and I have no clue what I'm doing.
Overwhelming.
Yeah, it's super overwhelming. And that was biggest the biggest barrier for me to even get into some of the other stuff.
Yeah. Well, Mark, it could have been worse, man. Like, you couldn't have, I mean, you had a force of nature, but what if you had a Black Lotus that you gave away, dude? Like,
dude, you know what? Chances are, I mean, I doubt I did, but I probably knew somebody that did. Because my friends and I were like just buying all these cards. Like, it was one of the hottest things. It was in upstate New York, and it was just, I'll never forget. Like, he had a bunch. There was another shop in Albany because my mom worked in the city, in the capital up there. And like, there was a store she was going into to just to see if they had them because they started selling out because everybody was trying to get all the cards, and it was just a big deal. But
my town was a similar setup. We had like a coin shop that sold Magic cards. And I remember looking at them, but never interested, but never buying any of it.
Well, what's the deal with that? Like, why would you know, like I said, my guy had like rings and like charms. But you know what happened was he totally converted into a Pog shop. Remember Pogs? Those little like cardboard thing.
Yeah,
he basically like went all in on Pogs and then went out of business because the guy had like so many Pogs in there. And then of course nobody wanted Pogs after like a week, and he just went out of business. It's terrible. But all right, let's shift gears here and let's talk about the game itself, Star Wars Unlimited. You know, we don't have to get in too deep into the rules, but I don't know if one of you guys maybe want to kind of take the reins and just, I guess, explain kind of the flow of the game to people and let them kind of understand maybe for people who have played Magic, like what makes this game different? What's the format of it over the typical TCG?
Sure. I can take that for a minute. So yeah, basically Magic the Gathering, the most popular format right now is Commander, and you have a commander that you build your whole entire deck around. So with Star Wars Unlimited, it's similar because you have a leader. So you basically choose a leader to build your deck around, and your leader will have an ability that he can use basically at will. So from there'll be a zone on your playmat that says leader, and you put your leader there and you can have access to it at any time to use his ability. And so naturally you want to build your deck around that ability. And then you have a base. Your base will either have 30 hit points or it'll have 25 hit points. If you have a 30 hit point base, you have no special ability on that base. But if you have a 25 hit point base, you're going to have an ability on that base that you can use once a game. So it'll be something kind of small, not too crazy, but it's enough to where you sacrifice the 5 health to have an extra ability to do during the game. Then from there, you just kind of build your deck with synergy around your leader. You play cards, you can use resources to cast those cards like you would in Magic. You would tap lands. This, you're just tapping resources, which is just face down cards. And that's another thing, because Magic, you have to have land cards to be able to cast things. In this game, there's no land cards. So what you do is at the beginning of the game, you draw 6 cards, you decide which 2 you don't want in your hand, and you place those face down, and those are the cards that you use to tap sideways and then pay for the cost of your other cards. So every turn you'll draw 2 and then put 1 down as a resource, but at the beginning of the game you put 2 down to start the game off.
Of those cards you put down, it doesn't have to be one you just drew, right? Like, let's say, you know, I have whatever, exactly, 4 cards in my hand, I pull 2, but then I'm like, you know what, I want to keep both these 2, I can get rid of another one in my hand, right, to put down.
Yep. Okay. Yep. Exactly.
And you have to put one down every turn, or no, you don't have to. Like, you can decide to say, you know what, I just want to keep these. I mean, I don't know why you would, but do you have to always
put a resource down? No, that's actually a strategy. Yeah, like, so once you get up to like 6 to 7 resources, pretty much you're good for the rest of the game for most decks. Mm-hmm. And so then you're just basically drawing 2 cards, and then you get to keep both those cards in your hand. So you do not have to resource, but you want to resource at the beginning to obviously get your resources up in count. But sometimes your deck just hums at a certain count and you're like, okay, I'm good. I got my 6, 7 resources, and now I can just keep drawing cards and keep doing my thing.
Interesting.
Yeah. And whatever your leader is, they can be flipped at any, once you get to a certain resource amount. So I play Boba Fett. So if you get to 5, you can actually use Boba Fett as like it's called a unit. And he can like attack and stuff at that point.
So that's like special ability, or is there something special about Boba Fett that gives him that ability to do that?
No, every leader, once they get to their resource cap, they all have a number on them. Mm-hmm. And then once you get to Vader, I think is 7. I don't use Vader, but I think he's 7. But once you have 7 resources, then you can bring him out as like a unit and start attacking whatever at that point with him. Awesome. But until you get to that point, he can only do like, there's like a text on the card, like he can do this certain thing, but once you bring him out, it like makes that ability better, but he can also attack at that point.
Is there a cooldown, or can he do that every turn?
Once a game. You can only bring your leader out once a game. Once your leader is out and your leader dies or they kill it, then you will have to put it back in your leader zone, and then it has to stay there the rest of the game. You can still use the ability on the flip side of it, but as far as him being on the ground, attacking as a unit, that can only happen once a game. Mm-hmm. So you want to use it strategically. You're not wanting to just flip your leader whenever. You got to basically be like, okay, the coast is clear. I'm going to bring my leader out and have this huge turn. And that's the thing with Boba Fett as a leader. In this game, Boba Fett can swing the game drastically because of his ability. It's pretty sick.
It's awesome. Sounds like, you know, I mean, people have been listening to the podcast. You've heard me talk about Marvel Champions a lot. You know, in that you're using cards in your hand as your resources to play other cards. But, you know, the cool thing that they did in that game as well is make the different characters, the Marvel characters you play as, like have their abilities mimic how they play. And it sounds like they obviously did the same thing here. Like Boba Fett, like you said, he can totally swing the game once he reaches his resource cap. The ability that he gets at that point then really can make a difference. Or Vader, yeah, it takes you a little bit longer to get there, but I could just imagine, you know, once he comes on the field, like, I mean, does he just decimate things when he comes in? I mean, he's Vader, right? They probably made him purposely, we're going to make you wait till you hit that 7 cap, and then it's on at that point. That's awesome.
Yeah, somebody won a $5,000 tournament with Vader down in Florida just recently, like a few weeks ago. And Vader was the deciding factor in that, because they basically just controlled the entire board, just killed everyone's things, and then it's like, all right, here comes Vader, here comes my giant like starship that I'm going to cast, and kind of wins the game at that point. So yeah, Vader's powerful in the game for sure.
It's really weird seeing like the different, like when the game first came out, it was always, everybody was playing Boba Fett, and I feel like now everybody's playing Vader or Sabin Wren.
You know what's funny? I just did so all the local stores right now are doing these things called showdowns, Mark. Mm-hmm. And so basically what it is it's a 32 player cap, and you go and you play in this showdown, and you have a chance, if you get in the top 8, to get a Mace Windu promo card. And so it's an alternate art on Mace Windu. It's got a special foiling to the card, and on the card it says top 8, and then there's a top 4 one, a champion one, and a finalist one. And I went and played in one of these tournaments, and I brought a Boba Fett deck because Boba Fett is, you know, arguably one of the best leaders. He's definitely top 3. And I was the only player there playing Boba Fett.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. It was so crazy, because
were people like hovering over watching Boba you Fett play? Was just...
No. It was just like, you know, our tournament, we had 16 players, and so all I had to do was, you know, get top 8, was just be, you know, better than half the people there. And you know what? I missed out on the top 8 by one game. It was so close. I missed out on the top 8. Funny story about this, though. I'm going to tell it really quick. I missed out on this top 8, and I was feeling pretty bummed. And me and my buddy went, and he was playing a Leia deck. He made it to the finals. I barely missed out on the top 8. But, you know, I was over there like, God, you know, I was one action away from being able to kill this guy that I was playing against. And I was like, I would have made top 8 if I would have just won that game. And then, you know, they announce who the top 8 are, and then everyone who didn't make top 8 got to go up and get their, you know, their prize pack for playing, right? And so I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go get my prize pack. They call my name, I go up there, I open the pack, and I got a Showcase Grand Inquisitor out of my one pack. Now, you may not know what that is, but Showcase cards in this game are like, they're the chase card. They're like, those are the cards that are super rare, like everyone wants those. And they're only one in every 12 booster boxes. So they're ultra rare. And so the fact that I pulled one out of just this little prize pack was like insane. Like
that is,
I was
insane.
Like, yeah, I was freaking out. I was like, oh dude, I showed my buddy. I was like, I got a Grand Inquisitor. And then everyone immediately like hovers over me like, oh, you got a Showcase. And I was like, yeah. I was like, I just basically won the tournament right here.
You did. You basically won the tournament without winning.
Yeah, you just win.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I mean, just, so dude, I wasn't feeling bad after that.
Just hearing these names, like Grand Inquisitor, you know, Sabine Wren. Like, mm-hmm. all these names you're throwing out there, I'm just like, why am I not? If anything, why am I not just collecting these cards, you know? Like, just because all the cards, the pictures you guys put up in the Discord, they just look great. Like, it just, especially, I mean, you mentioned, Chandler, you've been playing Lorcana, but, like, when you put these two games mm-hmm. next to each other, I mean, obviously, this made you somewhat leave, I don't want to say leave Lorcana, but, like, say, hey, Lorcana's my first trading card game, but wait a minute, like, this other Star Wars game is coming out. Like, how much of the appeal for this, for really, for, I'll throw this out kind of to both of you, but is Star Wars layered on top of it? Like, if this was, let's say, like, original characters, I mean, Magic obviously now has been around so long, some of those characters are known mm-hmm. in terms of, you know, the commanders and the kind of the lore that Magic has. But if this was anything other than Star Wars, like, do you think you would have made the jump, or is it just really Star Wars pulled you in and then...
I would have never looked at this game, honestly, if it wasn't Star Wars. And that's just because I've not been involved in TCGs for a long time. It's just, I saw it, I saw the Star Wars name, and I saw that it was made by, I forget the name.
Fantasy Flight Games. Fantasy Flight Games, right?
Company that makes Marvel Champions. And I was like, okay, I'm familiar with them, and it's Star Wars. Like, I'll give this a shot. And that's what really brought me to it, is the name and all the characters. I mean, this first set has got, like, everybody you want. It's got Vader, Luke Skywalker, Leia, Boba Fett's my favorite, Han Solo, Chewbacca.
Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, it's got Millennium Falcon. I mean, it's got all the stuff that bring everybody there to this thing. So, to be honest, that I would have never played that game, because there's so many of these games out there that I just don't look at, or I don't play, or I never cared about. But this one, definitely the Star Wars name brought me to it. Mm.
Go ahead, Falcon. What are you saying?
Same for me though, Mark. I was just about to say, yeah, same for me. Like, I wouldn't have probably gave it a second look, because I'm like, I'm too deep into Magic. It was really the Star Wars IP that kind of pulled me in. And I guess Fantasy Flight Games, they have a track record of not being successful with TCGs. They did do a game called Star Wars Destiny before this one. And Chandler, have you ever heard of that game?
I have because of this recently, and what you're going to talk about. Yeah, I've seen articles about this. Yes.
And that's the funny thing, is that, like, I never heard of Star Wars Destiny until I started playing this game, just like you. Mm-hmm. And so there was obviously bad marketing. It didn't get out there. The word wasn't spread. But this game, for some reason, has hit everyone so hard, and the game sold out. Like, all the boxes for the booster boxes for this game sold out within, like, the first month of the game coming out, because people just started going crazy over it. And I heard a statistic that Fantasy Flight Games with Star Wars Destiny, so this game, Star Wars Unlimited, sold more boxes and more product in the first set than Destiny did in an entire year run of the game.
Wow.
So it's blown up pretty huge. And so you can pretty much bet that it's going to stick around. And that's why I'm kind of investing in it. I'm not afraid that the game's just going to close down after a week. The developers of the game are super cool. I've been watching the live streams, and they are just awesome people. You can just tell they care about the game. Mm-hmm. They're passionate about it. They love the artwork. They're really careful about how they use the artwork and how they use the lore. They're not just, you know, throwing things out there like, you know, whatever, because we have the Star Wars IP, we're just going to use it to death. Like, no, they're being careful about what they do. They're moving strategically. One of the developers, I don't know who it is, but he even tattooed the aspects, so, like, all the colors. He tattooed the aspects on his arm. That's awesome. I'm like, this guy's serious, you know? He's tattooing stuff on his arm to represent the game, you know? And that's what I like to see. I like to see a whole team just come together and just, like, put their whole heart and soul into a game. And I can tell they're doing that. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. I can say that I've only played Lorcana, but when this game came out, there was, like, wait lists and people waiting to get into the pre-release events, and I've never seen that for a TCG. Obviously, I don't have the experience you do, Falcon, but I've not seen that, where people are like, they come to the events even though they're not on the list to play in these things, hoping people will back out so they can play and get their hands on the cards, because, like you said, you can't get the cards right now, or at least not easily. It's pretty crazy.
If somebody wanted to get into it, I mean, what do you think is a recommendation? They sell there's the beginner box, right? Which I think last I looked was, I think, available on Amazon still. I should have looked that up here before we started going. But it basically comes with, what, Luke and Vader. Like, is that, I mean, I would assume that's the recommendation, but is that what you would recommend most people get? Just so this way you have two decks and you can just start playing right out of the box with somebody?
I think
absolutely.
Yeah. I think those are only like $30 too for two decks to start with. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's like $30 to $35 for both those decks. And in those decks are cards that you can't get in the packs. You can only get in. So the stores will give you like a little promo pack for showing up. It's like got three cards in it.
Mm-hmm.
The only other place you can get the cards that come in the starter, there's certain ones that are specific to the starter. The only other place you can get those is there. You have to go to a game. You have to go to a local game store, play in an event, pay $5 to play. And then they'll give you one of those little packs that has three cards in it. And then you have a chance of getting one of the ones that are in the starter decks. So the starter decks have really good cards in them. Actually, arguably one of the top five best cards in the game is in the Vader deck called Overwhelming Barrage. It basically gives your character +2 on his health, +2 on his power, and then you get a spread damage across their entire board on all their units, equal to the amount of power that you just gave that creature or that unit. So it's pretty powerful, and I would say the starter decks easily. Yeah, if you see a starter deck, pick it up. $35 is not that expensive. And then what I would do from there is I would watch maybe some YouTube videos or deck techs and learn about like what the deck is that you want to build or what speaks to you. And I know local game stores are selling singles right now. You might be able to go to a local game store and find the singles you need and then pick them up for pretty budget. But be careful, you know, buying cards on TCG right now on TCG Player, because the Vader card with how rare it is going for way too much money. You know, Boba Fett is also another one that's really rare and it's going for way too much money. So don't just go start like blowing money on those expensive cards, but like find a budget deck tech online and then see if your local store has them or just order them on TCG as singles. That's my recommendation. But if you do that, there's the aggro decks in the game right now are actually really top tier. You can build a really good budget Leia deck or a budget Sabine deck and not spend too much money. And you can take it to a tournament and probably win a couple games because they built it that way to where it's a very balanced game.
How long is a match?
I think time limit when you're playing a tournament is 50 minutes to play three games. So,
oh, okay.
15, 20 minutes.
So 15, 20.
Yeah, 15, 20 minutes.
Round, I guess, if you want to say, and then it's best of three. Is how the tournament situation works?
Yep.
Nice. Now, is there any... Are there other formats to play? Like, you know, obviously we mentioned Magic, you have Commander. Are there other versions or have you guys tried any of the other versions that are out there or no?
Have you played Twin Suns yet, Chandler?
I have not. I know some people were messing around with it last weekend at the store I play at, but I've heard that there's not enough cards yet to do that, but it sounds really cool. I can let you explain that because I'm not 100% sure what that is, but what I've heard sounds really cool.
Yeah, I've only played Twin Suns once. So my local game store, they pick one day out of the month to do the Twin Suns format. And so what that is instead of running one leader, you're running two leaders and one base. And so you get to kind of synergize your leaders with each other, which is super cool because like you could run Han and Chewie. You know, you could run Leia and Luke. Yeah,
it is. It's really
can you
cool.
run Vader and Luke?
It's really cool.
Like that would be cool.
No, they kind of have a rule where it has to be if it's a villain card, it has to stay with villain. If it's a hero card, it stays with hero.
Right.
But there is kind of a funny thing where Boba in this set is villain, so Boba is orange black. But in the next set, they have another Boba leader coming out who's green white because they're doing the Boba from the TV show where he's actually like a hero. So. Pretty cool. So you can run Boba Fett as a hero. So you could run Boba and Luke in the next set.
So there'll probably be an Anakin, like a Clone Wars era Anakin coming out at some point.
Absolutely.
And then maybe you could run an Anakin.
Oh my gosh, absolutely.
Sure, yeah.
Or Obi-Wan and Anakin.
Yeah.
Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan. Like, oh my God, dude. This guy's the limit.
The sky is the limit with this game. I'll quickly explain what Twin Suns is a little bit more.
Yeah,
so,
sorry. Yep.
You're good. So it's basically you got two leaders. You still have one base. And then the difference in this is that in the main game, you can have three copies of each card, but up to just three copies. And it's a 50-card deck. In Twin Suns right now, because the cards are so limited, it's still a 50-card deck, but they only let you have one copy of these cards, kind of like Commander. Commander is a singleton format where You can only have one card, one copy of each, whatever you're going to run. And then in the next set, they're increasing the cap to 80 cards. So, and I think it's going to stay there. So the Twin Suns format will be an 80-card format, and you can't have the same card in your deck. It has to be one copy. And obviously two leaders. And so you'll get a lot of, like, with the singleton formats, what I like is that it's random, and it's so, like, you're getting a different experience every time you play the deck, because you're not gonna churn through all 80 of your cards every time you play the game.
Right.
You're gonna probably see maybe a fourth of those cards, or, you know, and so basically every time you sit down to play the game, you're gonna get a different experience. It's gonna be a good time with your friends, and it's four players, so it's 1v1v1v1, and what I found with Twin Suns is that once someone gets down to like a low enough like life total, oh, I guess I should explain that too. So the way that this one works, how you win the game, is if someone dies, like the second someone gets taken out, that begins the end of the phase, or it's basically the beginning of the end. So it's like you basically have till the end of that phase, and whoever has the most life at the end of that phase is going to win the game. But the person who took out the other player gains, I believe it's 5 life to their base once they take that player out, and then
nice.
They get a little boost, but then everyone's kind of like, it's blood in the water at that point, and people are like, okay, who, you know, how are we going to win this game? How are we going to pull this out? And so you kind of pull out your biggest plays at the very end there. So it's kind of fun.
Wow.
Yeah, sounds really cool. I know the people that were trying it at our store said that they liked it a lot, but it was one of those things where they just don't feel like there's enough cards yet, but the next set should fix that.
It'll get a lot better in the next set for sure.
Yeah.
I'm scrolling through. I mean, I recommend people listening to this if you're interested at all. Go to StarWarsUnlimited.com. I mean, you can go on there and see how to play. I'm looking right now. They have a deck builder portion of the site, and they pretty much have all the cards on there. So I'm looking at the leaders, you know, Moff Gideon. They have, you know, Bo-Katan, Mandalorian, Director Krennic. Like, there's just so many on here, man. It's so cool. Wow.
There's also a couple. There's a website where you can go and build a deck and play against like an AI. I don't know if you want to pump that, but it's called Force Table, and it's you can build your own deck there and build two different ones and just play against whatever you want.
What?
Yeah.
Well, I will definitely be doing that.
ForceTable.net.
.net.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I've
never tried it yet.
Was it on Steam? I can't believe I can't think of it. The virtual tabletop game. I don't know. Basically, it's I can't believe I can't think of it, but it's a game on Steam, and it's like, you know, Board Game Master or something like that it's called. But basically, every board game is on there, every card game, and like you can go on there, and people have scripted Lorcana games on there, or even Marvel Champions. You can go on there, and like every set, people have uploaded the cards, and they have like some sort of scripting to it where it kind of walks you through and you can play the game. And so I've been kind of looking at this on there, but I couldn't find one that actually like felt good. But yeah, I'm looking right now, ForceTable.net, and there it is. Star Wars Unlimited.
Yeah, and I know there's a couple other ones that are starting to pop up where you can play against other people. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I don't know about the ones playing against other people, but as far as deck building, like deck building websites to just kind of test out and build a deck, my favorite is swudb.com, which is Star Wars Unlimited. I'm assuming deck building or deckbuilder.com. So swudb.com. And that's the one I go to, and it gives you the whole list of cards. It even like has spoiler cards ahead of time, so you could even test out building a deck before it's even came out. And that's the one I love because it shows you clearly how many copies you have of each card. You can also click on a thing that says view image, and then it puts the whole cards out on a table for you kind of thing, like all spread out, and you can kind of see the whole deck as a whole and decide what you want to cut, what you want to put in. So that's also a really good website if people want to get into deck building.
Yeah, wow. Tabletop Simulator is what you were thinking.
Tabletop Simulator, that's I can't believe I couldn't think of it. Yep. Yeah, this Force Table.
I do even see there's some people.
Lorcana on there as well. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, what were you saying? You see people doing what?
Oh, I do see that the people are playing I see in a Discord chat that I'm in that people do use Tabletop Simulator to play on there, or I've seen people doing live camera where they play over the internet with cameras and just play. I know you guys do that sometimes.
That's what we did for Champions. Yeah, that was kind of our way to, because we had downloaded or got Tabletop Simulator thinking we could use that. But I don't know, there was something about just playing, you know, with the real physical cards, which it's the same thing, right, with this game where it's that's cool. You can do it digitally, but I mean, to have the actual cards in your hands is cool. The only thing that kind of stunk or stinks with Champions is because it's co-op, one person has to manage the villain. And so that was kind of always our thing, like, okay, who's gonna run the villain this week? And then, you know, when you didn't have to run the villain, it was just kind of like, hey, I just get to sit back and do my thing, where if you had to run the villain that week, you're managing your hand and hero as well as the villain. But, I mean, the way that game's built, if you're playing by yourself, you have to manage the villain anyways. Or, you know, if I've played before with a friend or my kids, I'm the one managing the villain anyway, so it really doesn't matter, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing I do want to kind of point out, Chandler, did you have something you want to say really quick though?
No, go ahead.
Okay. One thing I do want to point out about Star Wars Unlimited, and this is just like one of my favorite parts about the game, is the flavor on the cards, like the synergy between characters that you know, and some of the things that these cards say, like in the text, are just insanely awesome, hilarious, go with the lore. So there's a card in the game, it's called I Am Your Father, okay? And it's literally Vader on the card reaching out to Luke when he's telling him, I am your father. And in the text of the card, it says, deal 7 damage to one of their units unless that player says no. Then you get to draw 3 cards. And so it's like you're either taking 7 damage, but if you say no, just like Luke said, then I'm just going to draw 3 cards and I'll leave your unit alone.
It's so good.
Like, and I kind of want to point out this too. R2-D2 and C-3PO. Like, you know, they're buddy-buddy, right? So in the starter deck, you get R2-D2 and C-3PO cards. And one thing that R2 does is when he enters the battlefield or when he attacks, he will get to look at the top card of your library or the top card of your deck. And then that's all he does, you know. And then C-3PO, when he hits the battlefield or when he attacks, you name a number. And if you reveal the top card of your library or your deck and it's that number, you get to draw that card and put it into your hand. So the synergy between R2 and C-3PO is R2 is getting the information. He's hacking into the system. He's seeing what's on top of your deck. And then C-3PO is naming the card, and then you get to draw that card and get card advantage. Oh. It's just, they thought this game out. They thought this game out so well. They're like, man, let's make, you know, R2 and C-3PO on a card, but we want them to also just work in tandem with each other. It's awesome.
Now, the other thing about, I guess, kind of the way the game plays out, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I remember kind of when I was digging through the rules, isn't there like almost 2 battlefields? Like, yeah, you have your base that they're trying to take out, but isn't there like a battle in space and kind of on the ground, right? Or am I just kind of remembering that wrong? Am I thinking that wrong?
No, yeah, you are correct. Yeah, we didn't even mention that. So there's a whole side of the board where you can only put ground units, and then there's a whole side board where you can put the space units, and those two cannot attack each other. So it's a kind of like a way to play the game where if somebody's putting a bunch of ground units and you want to do something in space, you can do that there, and they can't touch you or do anything with those units there.
So there are cards, though, that will say specifically, like there's a space unit called Strafing Gunship or whatever, and it says that specifically this card is a space unit, but it can attack ground units, but only one card, right?
Yep, so. That's correct.
Wow. So, I mean, how do you know, or how have you guys, when you're building your decks, like how are you managing? Because I could just see myself trying to build a deck and just like stressing, like I got to have X amount of flight cards, I got to have X amount of like ground units, like... Or do you just go all in and do like a StarCraft Zerg rush where it's like, I'm just going to throw in all these, you know, cheap units on the ground and just rush them? Like, how are you managing? I mean, I guess the same thing is in Magic. You know, if you play against somebody who is playing cards that have flight and you can't do anything because they can just fly right over your units and there's nothing you can do. Is there a limit that has to be in there or no?
No, you can do whatever you want, but I think a lot of the, so I play Boba Fett because I just love Boba Fett. So he has the Fett Fire Spray is one of the ships that you can play, and it comes in ready and can attack on the turn you bring him in just because you're playing Boba Fett as your leader. So like a lot of the cards, like the space or the ground, they can do certain things based on what your leader is or what other card you're playing. So I only play 4 space units in that deck, and then the rest are all ground. Then you have like events and upgrades. But I think having a good balance of both is where you want to be, but some of them are heavier on one side or the other. I don't know what Falcon plays, but it's pretty balanced.
Yeah, I play Boba Fett as well. I also play Iden Versio. Now, that's the cool part too, is that there's even video game characters in this universe and in this card game. You know, Iden's just straight from.
Isn't there a Bad Batch coming? Isn't Bad Batch coming in the new set? Yeah. There's a couple characters.
There's a whole bunch of Bad Batch characters coming in this next set. So
you guys are killing me.
Forgive me that I've never seen Bad Batch yet. But there's like Hunter, there's like this sniper looking dude. You're gonna know what his name is, Mark. He's the sniper guy.
Oh man, Crosshair. You gotta watch Crosshair's Bad Batch, on the car. Dude, what are you doing? It's great.
Yeah, I know. I need to watch it, man. But yeah, basically there's a lot of Bad Batch characters coming in this next set. It's gonna be pretty sick. But yeah, you want a little bit of space units, like he's saying. You want a little bit of space, a little bit of ground. That way you can cover both arenas in case someone's trying to attack you heavy in space. You can at least go over there and deal with some of their units. But yeah, you just want to build it kind of balanced, and there's no real stress to it. It's like, I even just tried to build a theme deck too. Like, I have this like idea that I want Luke to be my leader for one of my decks, and I want it to be Jedi Academy themed. So when more sets come out and they give me more units that have lightsabers in their hands, I'm going to try to shove as many lightsaber units into that deck as I possibly can. And it's going to be Jedi Academy Luke, and that's going to be the theme of the deck. And I don't care if I win with it all the time, but I will win some games probably. And it's going to be fun, you know? It's going to be a fun deck because it's all themed and everything. So you can do that too. If you want to just build the deck around a theme, do that, you know? It's limitless.
I really want Star Wars Unlimited, right?
Yeah. Pretty much.
I really want Jango so I can have that double bounty hunter.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, man,
yeah.
Dude, that'd be great.
They have a Jango Fett card coming out in the next set.
Jango and his son Boba. And you can run, there you go. That could be your twin son's deck right there. I'm just looking at some of these leaders, and I mean, there's like so many characters that are coming off the top of my head that are not in there yet. You know, like pretty much everybody from the sequel trilogy. Like, where's Rey? Where's Kylo? Where's, you know, Finn? I'm looking, you like, know, you know, at some point they're going to all be there, right? I would assume. Plus, then all the Clone War era stuff. Like we mentioned, Anakin, Obi-Wan. I mean, where's Yoda? There's no Yoda leader yet.
Yoda's a unit right now. He's not a leader yet, but he is a unit in the first set. So you can play Yoda.
Oh, but you know what's funny is that they've spoiled
some of like the play mats, and they've spoiled some of the deck boxes that are going to be some of the merch that you can get for the next set. And Rey is on a deck box. So Rey is on a deck box for the next set. They have not shown her yet, but she's probably
in the first set. On that aggression card.
Yeah, he's not a unit. Like, you're not playing Kylo and attacking as Kylo, but it's like an instant or sorcery card in Magic, if you can compare it to that. So it's like, it's a card you play and then something happens. Well, the artwork on the card has Kylo Ren on the card. So he's already in the set, just on the artwork at least.
Yeah, I mean, there's Rose. Rose Tico is in it from, you know, Last Jedi. And she's just a unit. I can see her. Or what's his name? Kuel from The Mandalorian, who is, you know, the first episode. The guy that, I don't know, second or third episode he was in it. The client from The Mandalorian is in there. I mean, these cards, there's so many people in here, so many characters. It's wild.
Yeah. Grogu will be there next set. I don't think he's a leader, but.
He's a unit. And The Mandalorian, of course.
He's on the website. The Mandalorian synergizes. Right, Grogu. Says,
when that Yoda leader card comes out, that will be a crazy one. I'm sure everybody will want that.
Which leader?
Yoda.
Oh yeah, Yoda leader for sure. Yeah, and that's another thing too. I think Darth Maul is on the box for the next set.
Oh, yeah.
So we haven't seen Darth Maul yet. There's no one spoiled any of the Darth Maul cards, but he's got to be in the set. And I heard he's going to be the version of Darth Maul that's going to be in this next set is going to be the Crimson Dawn Darth Maul. So he'll have his like robot legs.
Gotcha. So okay.
That's the era.
Yeah.
He's going to be a leader, right?
I think the coolest thing is it's going to have...
I don't know if he'll be a leader or a unit. We don't know yet. I just know that he is on the artwork for the box. So I'm assuming he's in there. He has to be.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I just think it's cool that you have all these like different properties, like Bad Batch. Not properties, but you have Bad Batch. You have everything that can be pulled into this together.
Dude, the second they do an Old Republic set... Yeah. Will go broke because I will have to have every showcase. I'll have to have every showcase. Like if Revan is on a card, I'm going to freak out, dude.
He will be. I mean, it's just, I think there's so many things. I mean, there's characters from the old, or not the old Republic, the High Republic they could eventually do, you know, once the Acolyte comes out and characters in there. I mean, you have just so many different things that they could pull into this. I mean, they have to even at some point put in like holiday special characters, right? Like pull in like just everybody. Yes. I mean, it's, you know, they're going to get to the point where they can do that. And I think the cool thing is you can have, like we mentioned Yoda, you can have Yoda as a unit, but then you can have Yoda as a leader, you know? And so you could even then duplicate, you know, some of these characters with different artwork and wow.
Well, this first set has Vader and Luke, but they don't have like the fancy showcase cards for this set. So I know that they're going to come out with them again.
It's interesting, have, like, right? It's interesting that those are the only two they didn't do a showcase version of was Luke and Vader, because you know those would have been the ones that are the most sought after. So maybe they're saving it for like, oh, like, you know, some special event. They're like, okay, and Luke and Vader showcase, here they are. And that would be pretty crazy.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be crazy when they come out.
Well, think about it too. You could even do Luke... like, what do you want to say? Like Last Jedi Luke or Return of the Jedi Luke or Vader. You could do, I don't want to say Anakin Vader, but you could do Vader at the end of Revenge of the Sith when he still looks like Anakin, but he's turned at that point on Mustafar, you know, when they're fighting, when he fights Obi-Wan. Like that could still be Vader, but it's a different version of Vader. You know, you could do just so many different different types of versions of those characters rather than just change the artwork, like literally change the card because it's a that character at a different aspect in their life and they've, you know, grown with the Force and give them different abilities. I think that'd be pretty neat.
Yeah, they've already done that because the Luke leader is Luke from Empire, and then the Luke unit card is Luke from Revenge or Return of the Jedi, I mean.
Wow, okay. So,
What if they did like an Anakin card, but his special ability when you flip him, he turns into Vader, like the bad Anakin Vader card.
That'd be so cool.
Yeah, that would be.
Or he's Anakin like right before he does Order 66, and you flip him, and he's got the red eyes. So when he's the unit version of himself, he's got the red eyes, and he's just killing younglings. Oh my gosh.
So good, man. So good. Wow. Well, guys, that was, I will say, you definitely have, I think, convinced me that I'm going to have to order this starter deck. I'm looking, it's available on Amazon right now, actually, for $30 even. It says it could be here by Sunday.
Yeah.
I order right now. So,
yeah.
I think
some of those decks, or both of those decks, are you can easily adjust them and make them pretty competitive, too. I don't know for sure, but I feel like you can just by adding a couple cards.
Yep, you just swap in a few cards and take a few out, and you've got a pretty dang powerful deck.
I mean, have you guys played those two against each other? Like, are they balanced enough where, you know?
I hate playing against Luke. He annoys me because he can give things shields, and then you can't take any of the units out. It's very annoying.
It is very balanced, Mark, because, like, Vader's about dealing out damage, and Luke is about putting shields on his units. So Vader's like... he's dealing damage to his units, but Luke, if he gets the shields on his units, you're not going to kill the unit. You're just going to ping the shield off of it. Gotcha. And so, yeah, it's definitely like Luke and Vader out of the deck. They do a really good job at that when they do the starters. They want to make sure that they're really good to like head to head go up against each other.
All right. Well, so obviously this is a big recommendation from both of you for, I mean, how is it for people maybe who's never played? I mean, in your case, Chandler, this is your second TCG, but still... I mean, you've been a TCG player, let's say, what, at most a year. Do you think this is a good jumping on point for anybody that's ever been interested in TCGs? But, like, let's say you've kind of had that, I might want to get into something like this, but you're a diehard Star Wars fan. Like, you definitely recommend getting into this?
I for sure do, just because if you want to start a TCG, and I mentioned this about the Magic, whole thing with Magic is it's not overwhelming. You're getting in when it's just coming out, so everybody's... on the same page all the cards and everything. And I think it makes it very easy for somebody new who wants to try this. I mean, you have the starter decks, you can get those for $30 and play, and makes it very easy to just jump in.
Yeah. What about you, Falcon? Same thing. Definitely a good starting on point.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what better time to get into a TCG than in alpha? You know, it's like, you know, there's the card, the deck lists are not very huge, you know, the cards in each set, you know, it's like you don't have all these thousands and thousands of cards to sit there and sift through and decide how to build your deck. It's like you've got, I think there's about 250 something cards in this set, and that's all that exists right now. And so it's not overwhelming, like Chandler was saying. Absolutely 100%. And then just find yourself a local TCG, game store that you can go play at, and people are friendly and welcome. They'll teach you the game. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, my game store has like the starter decks available where you can just go in there and they'll hand them to you and you can play with them there.
Ooh.
I assume that's the same most places.
Huh. Yeah, there's a new store that opened up in, I don't know if you guys have like an old mall in your town, but we have this old mall where there's like nothing in there right now. But a guy opened up a game store in there around Christmas time, and a couple times I've kind of gone into the mall and there's people in there. They're playing Magic and that. And maybe I'll take a swing by there and see if he actually has the starter set. Because as much as I would like to buy this off Amazon and get it, but like if I can buy it from the local shop, I'd rather buy it from him, give him the sale, you know, kind of help support him a little bit. So maybe I'll swing by there and see if he has these in stock. Because he did have Lorcana around Christmas time. He had some Lorcana sets, and I was very close to buying that. But, you know, he didn't have the like the beginner box. I think they had like a beginner box.
Oh,
for,
yeah.
Lorcana, he only had the single decks, and I was just like, eh.
Yeah, they came out with a couple starter decks for each set. Those have been pretty hard to come by. I think now you can find them pretty easily, but they for a while it was slim pickings for that stuff.
Yes, yeah. Same with the Star Wars starter decks. I've been to my local, you know, game store lately, and they have like six copies of the starter deck for Star Wars Unlimited just sitting on the shelf because. Yeah, people that are in it are already in it, and they don't need those starter decks right now. And right. So there's actually a decent stock of those. So they're not too hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Like I said, I think you guys convinced me, man. If anything, just to even collect these cards, because these cards are looking pretty sweet. So I think I'm in. I think you guys got me. And hopefully some people tuning into this are going to be in as well. Because I think, you know, for this game, I mean, obviously Star Wars, and like we had said, Fantasy Flight kind of has that history of abandoning some of their games. But I mean, this seems like it's kind of on the right path. A little bit more so than I think Destiny was. Like when you're talking about those sales numbers, that seems pretty good. So hopefully they're on the right path with it. Well, other than that, anything else you guys want to throw out here at the end? Any final thoughts about the game or anything?
No. I was just happy to talk about it because I'm addicted to this game right now. I'm having a blast. Me and my friends are just. You know, going to locals every week, playing, trying out new decks, going to tournaments. Like, it is just, it's kind of consumed my life right now. It's super fun. So I'm just glad to talk about it and get the word out there. Help
more
people
so,
learn about it.
More so than Magic for you?
Yeah, man. It's kind of taken my attention away from Magic because I still went and played Magic like once a week. Every Thursday I would go play Magic. But, you know, now I've been just kind of like, you know, all in on this Star Wars game and I'm not going to like sell my Magic collection. I'll still go play. But I will say there are like an abundance of Magic cards that I am heavily considering trading in for store credit and then using it to buy
the next set
of Star Wars Unlimited.
You could sell those Magic cards to buy more Star Wars Unlimited cards. Just saying, you could definitely.
Absolutely.
It's awesome.
Oh, don't worry. I've already thought about that. And there's cards I don't need. They're just taking up space, you know. And so it's like I could just trade in some of these and get some Star Wars.
You could have so many showcase cards.
Oh my gosh! Don't tempt me right now, man.
Wow. So yeah, what are the showcase?
If
nothing
else,
foil?
Just try out that force table.
Are they foil?
Oh
cards?
Yeah. So the showcase. So you have your leaders. Okay. There were 16 leaders in this first set, and the only ones that didn't get a showcase treatment was Luke and Vader. And so what that means is that there's a showcase version, which is foil, and it's an alternate art. Usually the art is just way better looking. It just looks awesome. And you're going to know when you open a showcase card out of a pack, you'll know because it's like borderless. There's no like, you know, there's no border to it. It's just foil and it's just going to shine and pop out at you. You're going to be like, oh, what the heck is this card? And that is a showcase and minimum. The cheapest showcase right now is probably Jyn Erso or IG-88, and those ones go for about $200. The Grand Inquisitor one that I pulled just the other day is like a $350 card. And now, Chandler, I don't want to like out you here, but did you say you pulled a Boba Fett showcase?
I did. I pulled a Boba and a Leia from my cards that
you,
I opened.
You That's are crazy. So freaking lucky, dude. Okay, so should give the you some Leia context.
My first box ever I ever opened, I pulled the Leia, and that's how I got her.
That's so insane. So Leia, the Leia showcase looks very like almost anime. Like it looks really cool. Like the way that Leia looks in there. That's one of my favorite showcases. It just looks so cool. The Sabine one is awesome as well. But mm-hmm. but the Boba Fett is the most powerful leader in the game right now, pretty much. And so it has a little bit to do with that as well. But Boba Fett goes for like $900 if you pull the showcase. Hmm. It's pretty insane. And Leia's, you know, not too far behind, you know. So it's pretty exhilarating. When you pull a showcase, you're just like, oh my gosh, you know.
Yeah, so it's pretty exciting. Now I do want to say that you get a leader card in every pack, just maybe not a showcase. So still get these cards. Yeah. So every pack you open has a leader and a base in it. So you can play the game with the basic whatever you get in the pack.
Wow. So that's a great idea, I think. So rather than like, you know, like let's say I buy the starter deck or anybody out there buys a starter deck and you have Luke and Vader, like if you're buying a booster pack, mm-hmm. now granted you may not have like, would I still have like, could I swap in that base and that new leader? Like, let's say they're a hero and still kind of play with the same Luke cards, or is it because their aspect is going to be different? I won't be able to.
Right. It depends on the aspects. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. So there is, you can play with any card in the game in your deck, but you're just going to have to pay a tax, like a little bit of a penalty for using a card outside of its aspect. So if you're building, you know, the Vader deck is red, black, green. And then if you try to add blue to your deck, you're going to have to pay two extra resources to cast a card that has blue in it.
Gotcha.
So you want to build it around the colors. It's still possible. Yep.
Okay.
See, there's actually cards that are worth paying the extra because they're that powerful. You know, you're like, oh man, this card's so powerful. I'm going to pay the extra two because it's worth it.
So, I mean, right there is a big difference over Magic. You know, Magic, you have to pay, you know, that mana cost that's on that card. Now, granted, in Magic, they'll have like, you know, what, two reds and like then two whatever. But like, you have to pay those two reds or like, you can't play it at all. Where in this, at least I could pay that tax.
And it's actually illegal too.
It's what?
Yeah. Like it's illegal in some formats, you know. It's like you can't, like if the card has white in it and your you know commander doesn't have white in his identity, then you can't play the card. It's just illegal. You can't put it in your deck either, you know. But this game is just like, put whatever you want in there, but you just got to pay a little bit of extra resource.
And something else we didn't mention is a way to play the game is like, I've seen our store have drafts where you go and you buy six packs. And then you open those packs and then put together a deck out of those packs. And then you play with that for that event. I think a lot of people like that format. I think Magic has that, right?
Magic does that.
Yeah, like Magic has drafts.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think one of the coolest things.
So the game's draftable. Before, yeah.
I was going to say, back when I did Guardian Radio, our co-host on there, Craig, the guy who worked for NASA, he every year would get together with a bunch of friends. They would do like a whole weekend, get together starting Friday night, all stay together at somebody's house till like Sunday. And they would buy like multiple boxes of Magic boosters and then just do a draft. And like all weekend long, they would just play Magic. Cool. And whatever cards you got, like that's what you were stuck with. And he said they used to just have so much fun doing that. And like the draft format always to me just seems very, very cool. Like that'd be a lot of fun. Cause then at that point, you know, you don't have these either overpowered decks or where people went online to look at decks or ordering individual cards. It's like, no, here's what you got. Like here's, what's your skill in building a deck? Like, here are the cards you have. So let's see what you can do. That's pretty neat.
That's actually another recommendation. If you find a freaking local game store that's doing draft right now, go draft. Because, like, these packs are so scarce right now that if you can go and pay, you know, $10 to do a draft and get six packs or $15 or whatever they're charging, that's a steal. Because right now, boxes are going for, like, $250 on TCG Player right now. And that's not worth it. You don't want to... Don't go out and buy sealed boxes of this stuff. You know, go to your local game store, play the game. They'll give you your prize packs, and it's gonna be well worth it. You might get lucky and pull a showcase, right?
Yeah.
So, yep.
All right. Well, guys, I really appreciate it, man. I hope some of the listeners out there really enjoyed it, and I think just besides myself, I'm sure there's some other people who are gonna be jumping into this game for sure, because it seems like it's Awesome. Just seems like it's very well thought out. And of course, just throw Star Wars on it and there you go. That's almost good enough for a lot of people. So, all right, everybody. Well, as always, don't forget, send me your feedback. If these guys have convinced you to pick up Star Wars Unlimited, let me know. Send me an email, theenthuselife@gmail.com, or of course, hit me up on Twitter at Mark Turk, MarkTurc. I'll be back Monday with a regular episode. And don't forget, we mentioned our next Retro Game Club. We are talking about The Legend of Zelda, The Minish Cap. So have either one of you guys ever played that game on GBA? No.
I don't think I did either.
Yeah. I thought
I had. A long time.
I thought I had maybe played the beginning of it, but right now I'm playing it and I'm two dungeons in and I don't know why I've never played this game. Like, it literally is a sequel to A Link to the Past, or at least it feels that way because it's kind of the same graphics, but like the puzzles are kind of to the next level because it has a little bit more modern things in it, being that I think it came out in 04 or 05. But it's great. So if you've played Minish Cap, let us know, and definitely be tuning into that episode when that releases. So as always, everybody, thank you here for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time. Peace.